All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Very glad to have you here with us today. Excited to be in the Word together. And my only prayer is that I can do justice to this great truth that we're looking at this morning. Last Sunday, we began a series on the seven I am statements of Jesus. Last week, we looked at Jesus' claim, I am the bread of life. This morning, we look at Jesus' claim, I am the light of the world. These statements reveal who Jesus is and what he is to be to you, to me, to us. They show what a marvelous and sufficient Savior we have. And no matter what problems we have, no matter what pains we have, and our problems and our trials and afflictions are very deep and very big at times, but if we have the bread of life and the light of the world, we are so blessed. We have the good life, the satisfied life, the abundant life in Jesus. We have the victory that overcomes the darkness. So the message this morning is good news. It's great news. I am the light of the world. And again, as I said last Sunday, Jesus used symbols to communicate truth about himself because symbols have the ability or the power to reveal things directly to our hearts. I am the light of the world creates an understanding about Jesus in your soul that 1,000 words of teaching cannot make clear to you. So let these words of Jesus, let this statement, let this claim, this promise of Jesus impact your inner person and change you forever from the inside out. May it leave a permanent imprint on your heart, an understanding of Jesus. I am the light of the world means Jesus is God's total answer to man's total need for the entire world. He is the complete and exclusive source of spiritual truth. He is the light who delivers from darkness, from sin, from Satan, death, and hell. Jesus is not only light to the world in some kind of general sense. He said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus will dispel the darkness in the life of anyone who follows him. He will dispel the darkness in your life as you follow him. He will replace the misery of sin and hopelessness with spiritual illumination. He will turn on the light, so to speak. He will light up your life with truth, with joy, with the hope of resurrection and eternal life. You know, even in the world, if somebody says, you light up my life, which happened to be the title of an old love song, but if someone says, you light up my life, we all know what that means. It means you brought joy, happiness, hope, love, something wonderful and good to me. This last Thursday morning, I opened the front door at 5:45. The sun had already lit up the skies. There was not a cloud in sight. I had some great music playing in my earbuds. It was a glorious morning. And as I started my walk, I looked up at the sky and I just said almost impulsively, wow, Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus is like the light of day on a glorious morning. Now, the next day, we had tornado warnings and it was dark. Completely different picture, but you know what I mean. Jesus as light of the world communicates a brightness. It communicates a light, something very, very good to our souls and for our lives. On the other hand, and this is, again, just kind of even the world's perception, on the other hand, we use darkness to describe evil, depression, despair, death, and hopelessness. And when we say someone is in a dark place, I think we all know exactly what that means. Now, in the Bible, light is a lot of things, and we're going to cover them. It's this impression that just covers so much. And I want us to grasp it all. In the Bible, light is God's glory and God's presence. When Israel marched through the wilderness, the light from the pillar of fire led them, and it meant God was with them. It symbolized God's presence. When Isaiah the prophet predicted the future glory of Israel, of God's people Israel, he used light to describe the glory of God, which he said was coming upon the nation. The Lord said, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Light and glory used the same to describe the same kind of thing, God's presence, God's glory coming upon the people. Light communicates God's immediate presence and help to deliver and to protect us. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" He saw light as descriptive of the God of immediate help and deliverance and protection. Micah 7:8 says, "Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light." Psalm 119, 11 and 12, David said, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." In another place he says that you turn my darkness into light. So no matter how dark life seems, and it can seem very dark at times, when God is present, there is always light and hope and safety, and we need not fear. The Lord is my light, whom or what shall I fear? In the Bible, light is also clarity or understanding, insight. It's direction. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Light is joy in the Bible. It's associated with joy all throughout the scripture. Psalm 97:11, "Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart." Light is life and resurrection. In Daniel, those who are raised from the dust will shine like the brightness of the heavens. Light is everything that's good and purpose, good and perfect. James said, "Every good and perfect comes down from the Father of lights." Paul said the light consists of all goodness, all righteousness, and truth. It's Ephesians 5:9. Peter described the light of God as wonderful and marvelous. 1 Peter 2:9, "We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light." So those who walk with God, those who know God, those who walk in God's light sense that they are walking in something glorious and wonderful or marvelous. And that's the life that Jesus offers every one of us. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. So you see, I think from this how, you know, how what a comprehensive picture it communicates, just everything that is beautiful and glorious and good and hopeful about life. On the other hand, darkness in the Bible is the absence of God. It's the absence of God's glory and the absence of his presence. Jesus said, "To be sent to hell is to be cast into the outer darkness." In the book of Isaiah, darkness symbolizes hopelessness and gloom, especially the hopelessness and gloom of being lost and in the world without God. It's the ultimate symbol of sin and evil. Paul said, he exhorted us in Romans 13:12, "Let us cast off the deeds of darkness," or the works of darkness, which he lists as orgies or carousing and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. Darkness is just all that dark stuff, all that evil, all that sin. So Jesus, when he said, "I am the light of the world," Jesus, as the light of the world, came to deliver us from the darkness of a life without God, and to bring us into the fullness and brightness and the glory of a life with God. Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk or will not live in darkness, and no one who believes in me will remain or stay in a state of darkness. And Paul told us in Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. When your life is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are connected to Jesus through a real, living, vital faith, Jesus shows you how to live in the light, and you actually become light. Paul said, you are light now in the Lord. So now you walk in the light. You walk in, as Paul said, goodness, truth, love, righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus brings light to your life in every area. He brings light to your life in your relationships. He brings light to your thoughts, to your emotions, to your attitudes. He brings light to everything. He said, whoever follows me will have the light of life. And whatever else that means, it certainly means that Jesus lights up everything in your life. Jesus as light of the world also is a clear statement that Jesus is God. He is divine. He is the Messiah. He is the promised Savior King whom the Lord would send as light to Israel and to all the nations. Isaiah 49 said, you are my servant, to whom I will, or in whom I will display my glory to bring Jacob or to bring Israel back to me. I will make you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That's from Isaiah chapter 49. And Paul verified that Jesus was this light, this Messiah, Savior, King, the prophets all spoke about. In Acts 26:23, he said when he was testifying before somebody, I don't remember who, but he said, I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, he would bring light both to his own people and to the Gentiles. So Jesus himself is, he's the Messiah. He's that Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the hopes and all the promises of all of the Scripture, the Old Testament. It may be pretty obvious, but just want to make this point. Jesus as light of the world presumes the real darkness of the world in which we live, in which we live our lives. Paul called it a kingdom of darkness. It's headed by Satan himself, and it's under the influence of demons and demonic powers, dark forces of evil and wickedness. The Apostle John said, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The world is not a neutral place. It's not like we are just walking through life in a place that's just kind of neutral, and then we choose to go one way or the other. We choose good or we choose evil. The place, the very place that we are walking through is evil itself. It's under the power of the evil one. We live our lives in a place that is devoted to darkness and enslaved to darkness and blinded by the darkness. Paul said that their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. That is the kind of kingdom, the kind of domain that we live our lives in. So salvation is to be brought out of that. Salvation is coming out of the darkness of the world and into the light of Jesus. Colossians 1:13, the Father has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul said that the Lord told him, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of God, Satan to God. So these two kingdoms, the domain of darkness, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom is the kingdom of light, these two kingdoms are in stark contrast to each other. And that's why James said, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. You cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. You've made yourself an enemy of God by befriending the world, because the world is in darkness. John said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world, because you have been brought out of that dark place, out of that dark kingdom, and into the light of Jesus. I am the light of the world means that Jesus is the exclusive answer for the whole world. There is no light, there is no truth, no answer, no salvation, no hope of heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby anyone can possibly be saved. He is not just a light or one of many lights. For churches and people who say they are Christians to say that Jesus is only one of many ways to God is a terrible insult to Jesus. It sounds so tolerant, but it is blasphemy. It is calling Jesus himself a liar, and it is false teaching. That probably doesn't need to be said here, but on the other hand, it probably does, because that thinking has infiltrated not only the world, but the church. Jesus, as the light of the world, solves our problem of spiritual blindness and ignorance. Apart from Jesus, we're blind. We are ignorant. We don't know the way to God. Without Jesus, people are living in not just spiritual darkness, but actually in intellectual darkness and spiritual ignorance and lies. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, or not only because I see the sun, but because by the sun I see everything else. Jesus is the light we need to see everything else about life. Psalm 36:9 says, in your light we see light. So because we have the light of the world, and only when we have the light of the Lord of the world, do we see life as it truly is. We know who we are. We know who made us. We know why life is broken. We know why there is evil. We know the answer to evil and sin. We know how to satisfy our spiritual hunger and where to go to meet that need. We know the ultimate answer to sorrow and despair and death. And we know how to overcome the world. We live with hope and optimism because of the brightness of our future. We know that the Lord himself will descend again from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we will all be gathered to Christ to be with him forever. We know we are destined for the heavenly city. So in short, we know where we came from, we know where we're going, and we understand the essence of life as it is in this world. And the smartest people in the world without Christ do not know or understand these things. The world is in darkness and ignorance about all the big questions of life. So Jesus as light of the world raises the question for every one of us, for each one of us. Where do you go for truth? Really, where do you go for truth? Who do you really think has the answers to life? For a Christian to think that that the basic answers to his problems and needs is found in the world's counsel or in the world's ideas is just such a mistaken idea. It's a very sad mistake. Just last week I heard someone say that so much preaching in the church today is merely taking the world's psychology, mixing it with some New Age ideas, putting a Christian spin on it, and then preaching that as the answer to life. We should not turn to the world or be impressed with the world or look to the world as the answer to life. We have the light of the world. We have the truth that is in Jesus. And in a sense, I think we should take the attitude that David had in Psalm 119. David said, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers because I keep your word." It's Psalm 119, 98 through 100. So in a sense, we should have a confidence about the light, the knowledge that we have because of Jesus as the light of the world and the light of that his word gives us. Jesus as the light of the world brings us out of our emotional darkness. That's not the only thing it does. It's not maybe the main thing it does. But salvation is to be brought out of darkness and into the joy of salvation. Jesus gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. Francis Schaeffer, in a book called True Spirituality, which I read years and years ago, and I still turn back to it once in a while. But Francis Schaeffer said something that I never forgot. You've probably heard me say something like this, but he said, "Jesus brings substantial healing to our whole person, to our thought life, and to our psychological problems." He said, "Healing will be perfect at the resurrection, but it is substantial now." And I've often had people ask me, "Well, you know, we're progressively being sanctified. We haven't arrived. We're not perfect yet. I mean, just how perfect should we be?" And my answer is, we shouldn't be. We're not perfect, but we should be substantially different. Jesus makes a substantial difference in our lives right now. The perfect will come at the resurrection, but the healing that Jesus brings is substantial now. And we should expect that. We should expect to walk in that. It's a real problem when we don't expect to walk in the substantial healing of Jesus as light of the world. And it does affect our minds and our emotions, our attitudes, everything about our inner person. Isaiah described people in Isaiah at the end of chapter 8 and in the beginning of chapter 9, which most of us know that chapter, which says, "Unto us a son is given." But before that, he described people in thick darkness and the gloom of anguish. I don't know how you can describe depression, despair any more vividly than that. The thick darkness and the gloom of anguish. But he prophesied there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. The light will shine on them, and you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence. Of course, that's a reference to Jesus. And Matthew quotes this passage from Isaiah at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he said, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light." So Jesus as light of the world changes life from a general gloom to gladness. What do we say at Christmas time about the birth of Jesus? We sing joy to the world. The light of the world brings joy to the world. They're just connected all throughout the Bible. The Bible continually connects joy and light, or uses light to communicate joy. Josh stole my verse this morning at the beginning of the service, Psalm 89:15. This is a little different version, but it says, "Blessed are those who know the joyful sound, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long." Wow, what a great verse. I love that. You know, when there is sustained unhappiness and lack of joy in our life, it means something is wrong, and we need to check our connection with Jesus. We need to check our fellowship with Jesus, and we need to get back in the presence of Jesus or in the presence of God, because it is with God, it is with Jesus, through Jesus, and in the presence of our Father that we rejoice all day long in the light of his presence. Ultimately, Jesus as light of the world delivers us from judgment and from the judgment of eternal darkness. As I said earlier, Jesus said that unbelievers will be cast into outer darkness. But in contrast to that, believers, it says in Revelation 22, will be given the right to enter the gates of the New Jerusalem, in which Jesus, the Lamb, will be its light. I love that too. The light of the world will be the light of heaven. Jesus, the Lamb, will be in the city, and there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. And everyone's eternity is either darkness or light forever. And everyone's eternity, Jesus said, is determined by their response to Jesus, and specifically to this claim that I am the light of the world. In John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I have come into the light, into the world as a light. Okay? Basically, I am the light of the world. I have come into the world as a light. Verse 48, but all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth that I have spoken. So this is a message on which everyone's eternity hinges. How do we experience Jesus as the light? Just as from last Sunday, again in this in these passages, he gives us three words. The first one is follow. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Following implies obeying Jesus. It means turning away from other things, other pursuits, other authorities in your life, and looking to Jesus as your master and Lord, as your light, as your answer. So it implies obeying him, leaving other things behind, and going after Jesus. The second word that he uses is come. Whoever does what is true comes to the light. It's another word that illustrates what genuine belief or faith is. It means to go to him as the light of your life. The third word is believe. John 12, 46, no one who believes in him will remain in darkness. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Put your confidence in Jesus as your light. Come to me. Follow me. Believe in me. The light is found in Jesus. It's come to me. Believe in me. Follow me. Give Jesus your full attention. Your life should be utterly and completely centered on Jesus, focused on him. As believers, we have a strong duty to walk or live in the light. A couple of verses that I actually quoted earlier, but they're very powerful verses that we need to keep in mind. Romans 13, 12, let us cast off or throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord and take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Do you notice the strength of those words? You know, to cast off these things, cast off everything that is dark in your life. We're urged to make a complete and total repudiation of the darkness, to stop dabbling in dark thoughts, in dark attitudes, in dark habits, and dark works, to make a total and complete commitment to live and to walk in the light. And John said in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with Jesus and yet walk in darkness, we're deceiving ourselves, we're lying, and we do not practice the truth. And that's not an unusual situation that John is addressing there. And I see it, I'm sure you do too, but I see some who claim to know Jesus and yet continue to express dark thoughts and ideas and say and practice dark things. As I said earlier, we're not perfect, none of us, but we do need to throw off the deeds of darkness. We do need to make a substantial break with the world and with sin and the devil and the darkness of the world. So Jesus as light of the world, it's such a wonderful, positive message, but it's a really serious problem to not walk in that light. And we should take that, we should take John's warning seriously. We should take these commands of Paul very seriously too. Well, there's two key things that I've been impressed with that we should take away from this morning. And I think there's things all through this message that I've shared that if you have ears to hear, you will heed them. You'll take them home with you and let them change your life. But here's two things that I felt more impressed with that we should take away today. First, if you have the bread of life and the light of the world, see yourself as blessed and having all you need for life. If you have the bread of life and the light of the world, think of yourself as blessed. Talk about your life as though you are blessed. Overflow with gratitude because you have the bread of life and the light of the world. I mean, you are so well off, you are so blessed, and may God open our eyes to see it. You have the light of the world. What can make you afraid? What can anyone do to you? Your path and your future is bright. Jesus said, "You shall not walk in darkness." That doesn't mean we don't have trouble and heartache and pain. Yes, we have afflictions and tribulation. Jesus promised that. You have those, and so do I. But if we think about our life as mainly or only having problems, that's our problem. We not only have problems, we have something else. We have the light of the world and the bread of life. Yesterday, I was picking up some things for Memorial Day weekend. I was at Hy-Vee, and the girl, younger girl, checking me out, and she just asked me, "How are you today?" And I said, "I'm doing good." And right after I said that, I wish I had said, "I am doing good. I've got the light of the world." I didn't say that. I wish I had. But that is the true answer to how you are doing. "I'm doing good. I've got the light of the world. I have the bread of life." How blessed we are. And then number two, begin to think of yourself as an overcomer because you have the light of the world. John said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it. And it cannot, it will not overcome it. Jesus has come, and Jesus will not be conquered. Evil will not overcome Jesus. The darkness will not overcome the light. Evil people will not overcome the light. And because you are in the light, there is no darkness, no sin, no evil, no fear, no problem, no affliction, no loss, not even death that can overcome you. Jesus said, everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And we overcome because we have Jesus. And only because we have Jesus. We overcome because Jesus is the light of the world. And he overcomes the darkness. Let's pray. Why don't we stand and pray?